Shalom Aleichem to all who are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit 101 podcast. This is Les Aaron Gosling teaching nothing new, but all things original. The existence of the mere mention of sin in the Genesis period establishes without any doubt that the world, prior to Moses and Sinai, knew of the Ten Commandments and possessed a complete dietary comprehension, as we can establish to be the case by even examining ancient Chinese statutes regarding the uncleanliness of the swine and other unclean creatures. So, while there was not a fundamental order as existed under Sinai, there certainly existed an oral law as identifiable in the first scroll of the Torah. We do need to remember that the Ten Commandments, called by Yaakov, the Lord's brother, the perfect law of liberty, see James 1:25, formed the bedrock of the Sinai covenant, along with various statutes and judgments which clarified precisely how the Ten Commandments should be applied in specific circumstances. Now, the sacred text of the biblical revelation makes it candidly clear that God married Israel as a nation. But God experienced a failed marriage relationship, and he also admitted, through the prophet Isaiah, that he failed in resultant child rearing. Yes, the marriage failed. Divorce ensued and became effective in both wives' instances. Now I say both wives because God, you will understand, had married two women, two sisters. So Yehovah God first divorced Israel in 721-718 BCE, and secondly his other wife Judah in 587-586 BCE. Later on, when Yeshua as Hashem in flesh attempted to woo his ex-wife back into his charms, she murdered her ex-husband, treating him with immense contempt and disgusting ridicule. The Sinai contract then ended abruptly on the bloody tree of Golgoleth. The death of a spouse completely negates the marriage union. Despite the Messianic Jews who desire to disbelieve the truth of the dissolved marriage contract, the Sinai covenant, it was not just annulled, it was finished. It's over. It was a marriage contract which no longer has an existence. The marriage is negated. Anybody who has been divorced knows that a marriage and the contract upon which it was based is through, totaled, spent, demolished, ruined, severed, dynamited, torpedoed, washed up, done for. It's over. It has ceased to exist. It is concluded. The unknown author of the letter to the Hebrews makes it candidly plain as the nose on our face. The writer proclaims, "You have not come to the mountain of Sinai." He then insinuates that we have not come even to the man who, for all his power and authority and immense stature, was nevertheless exceedingly afraid and trembling. No, we have come to the God-man, the Lord Yehovah Yeshua. But somehow in the minds of current attendees of Messianic synagogues growing in numbers around the world, I might add, they apparently model themselves on the Lord Yeshua and his teachings. They also are apparently faithful, observant, when it comes to the keeping of the Ten Commandments, and they apparently accept and follow the Brit Chadashah, the so-called New Testament, but they do not believe what is plainly scripted in the circular letter to the Hebrew Messianic Christians. A few short years later in Judah's history, shortly after the death of the Mashiach in the temple, which was destroyed, Jerusalem was raised to beneath ground level. Remember, Yeshua was crucified in the temple environs up on the Mount Olivet, which was the extension of the temple at the Mithkad altar atop the Mount of Olives. So yes, even those very holy symbols of the material existence of the Sinai covenant were not permitted by Yehovah to be in a continuance. They vanished. the Roman Emperor Hadrian, built his own pagan city, Colonia Aelia Capitolina, over the area which was once Jerusalem. Josephus, in his war, 711, states Jerusalem was so thoroughly razed to the ground by those that demolished it, to its foundations, that nothing was left that could ever persuade visitors that it had once been a place of habitation. There can be little doubt that by observing God's 10 words, or 10 commandments, we can become spiritually mature, the aim of our very existence. In Matthew 5:48, this is what Yeshua shared with us. Become you, therefore, spiritually mature, even as your heavenly Father is spiritually mature. He doesn't suggest be spiritually mature, but rather become, which implies a constant growth, a working toward, a pursuance of the goal of spiritual perfection. There is no doubt Yeshua lived his life out fully for each and every one of us in a perfect way. There is also little doubt that we as his disciples, that's Talmudim, students, by following our Messiah, ought to continually purge ourselves in our lives and character when we fail to morally meet his perfect standard. This is why it is written by the priestly John in 1 John 3, verse 3 and 4, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whoever commits sin transgresses also Torah, for sin is a transgression of the Torah. Our Lord Yeshua, only as the human manifestation of Yehovah, has the right to dictate to us hapless humans his view of what constitutes the Torah. Remember this particular. The Ten Commandments formed the bedrock of the Sinai Covenant, along with various statutes and judgments which clarified precisely how the 10 words should be applied in specific circumstances. Remember 5 things specifically about the 10 commandments in this ongoing discussion. Number 1. The 10 commandments, of and by themselves, are deficient because they needed 603 other commandments, totaling all up 613, to reveal how they were to be kept. There were no explanations concerning the application and administration of the mitzvot attached to the 10 words. You can look at Exodus 20 through to 23 and Exodus 34 verses 27 and 28. The 10 commandments were not the covenant. They were only the general terms that were included in the covenant. The covenant was the marriage agreement or marriage contract between God and the nation of Israel to observe the respective terms. In other words, God required obedience in return for explicit promises. Disobedience would ultimately result in a disqualification of the marriage. Point 2. No matter how holy, just, and good the law of God actually is, as Paul stated, even the 10 commandments are not immutable. Nevertheless, because the 10 commandments were in existence prior to the Sinai covenant, they cannot be among any commandments that were apparently vetoed with the cessation of the Sinai contract and the arrival of a new covenant. Yet even here, Yeshua, along with Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Paul, invalidated the curses associated with 2 of the prime 10 words. Point 3. It is recorded that Yeshua had placed within his central messianic administrative committee the authority to make sweeping changes to the Sinai Torah. Indeed, if we think a little seriously about it, how else could the council of Acts 15 have occurred? Messiah's own rabbinic council could make decisions relative to the Sinai covenant that would be bound in the heavens. Matthew 16, 17 to 19, Matthew 18, 15 to 20. It is in this episode, the context has Yeshua granting messianic rabbinic authority to his top disciples, that we find Messiah's use of the statement, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, that is, by my authority, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18, verse 20. While the Sinai marriage covenant is now abolished, we can appreciate certain of the admonitions included therein as they were carried over from the pre-Moses period covered by Genesis, the first scroll of Torah, and inculcated into that marriage agreement. The food regulations are a prime example of this fact. Point four. The Torah lay a great deal of emphatic stress on social and personal cleanliness. Now, can't we utilize the principles of cleanliness in our daily lives? Of course we can. The Western world has gained appreciably from putting into practice the principles of cleanliness. Government welfare systems did not have their origin in Karl Marx. Such socialist principles, if we want to call them that, were included in the Sinai marriage contract. For instance, in Deuteronomy 23, verse 24 and 25, the poor of the land were provided with food by being allowed to eat the grapes of vineyards, and then they were able to gather the grapes into baskets. They were thus able to eat until they were satisfied. But that was grapes. What about food that was considered substantial for survival? Consider. While they were forbidden to use a sickle to cut the corn in another's field, they were permitted to eat ears of corn that they came across. One writer has correctly commented, quote, "These are wholesome welfare laws, providing food for the needy, but avoiding waste." Heathen societies have not generally provided for their poor or aged, unquote. Walter Lang, 5 Minutes with the Bible and Science, 1972, page 109. There is much to appreciably consider also in the teachings of Moses in relation to the maintenance of the ecology of a region, even one under siege. If you look at Deuteronomy 20:19 and Leviticus 19:23-25, you'll find this. Trees were usually felled wholesale during such times of siege and used for military embankments, but the Torah forbade it. Moses also provided that the fruit of a tree not be picked until the tree had lived for a period of 5 years, again, with preservation of the earth's delicate ecology in mind. These are principles that can be utilized in the national interest anywhere on earth. See Melvin Ziltz, Ecological Crisis, 20th Century Thorns, in The Lutheran Scholar, April 1971. I could continue on for 2 hours or more on just this theme. One can, instead, reference the following works which shed further light on the value of the principles contained in the Sinai Torah. See Professor Rendell Short, The Bible and Modern Medicine, 1953. Macmillan, None of These Diseases, Sacred Writings Predate Modern Medicine, 1963. Dr. Gene Sloat, Morton, Science in the Bible, 1978. Alistair MacKay, Farming and Gardening in the Bible, 1950. Point 5. The Jewish Messiah, according to rabbinic authorities, was to introduce his own Torah when he finally arrived. Midrash Kohelet 83:1. The Torah of Messiah would supersede the Torah of Moses. The Jewish people of the Second Temple period understood that when the Messiah revealed himself, he would have no hesitation in applying entirely new principles to the Torah and adjusting the purity codes where he wished. As it is written in Isaiah 42:21, Yehovah is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the Torah and make it honorable. Until we have evidence otherwise, the Torah, Isaiah makes plain, was not honorable until Yeshua magnified it, enlarged it. Messiah was the only one to properly obey Torah. He, through his obedience, made it honorable, and further enlarge it he did. You just have a look at Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6, you'll see that that is the case. Mashiach also adjusted it. If the Torah was already honorable, there would be no reason for the prophet to comment on the fact that the Messiah would indeed improve it. So in the Second Temple period, the rabbinic authorities foresaw that the Mosaic Torah would be replaced by a far better Torah. Again, in Midrash Kohelet 83:1, it says, the Torah which a man learns in this world, now that's the Mosaic or Sinai Torah, is vanity in comparison of the Torah of the Messiah. Now Rav Shaul refers to his recognition of the authority of the above Midrash, which was in circulation in his day, in stating that his own rabbinic ministry was based squarely on Torah, but it was the Torah of Messiah. Very few have noticed this admission. If you look at two references, first, 1 Corinthians 9:21, quote, "With those who live outside the framework of Torah, I put myself in the position of someone outside the Torah in order to win those outside the Torah, although I myself am not outside the framework of God's Torah, but within the framework of Torah as upheld by the Messiah," unquote. And Galatians 6 verse 2, "Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the Torah of Messiah." Yeshua fulfilled this prophecy in Isaiah 42:21 to the letter. Matthew 5:17. Indeed, Mashiach saw fit on more than one occasion to cancel some of Moses' laws and to replace certain principles with more exacting concepts of his own. For the law of Moses stated that Israelites could swear oaths, but Yeshua changed that law outright to swear not at all. Matthew 5:34. True, there might be a problem here with a Greek translation from the original Hebrew, but this remains a matter of conjecture with scholars. Whatever the case, the principle of an eye and a tooth for a tooth was dramatically altered for Messiah's disciples. Matthew 5:39. Bear in mind, too, that Yeshua made it plain that both he and Kepha, or Peter, were exempt from the temple tax. Matthew 17:24-27. The Passover lamb was an integral part of the Passover celebration, but Yeshua legislated an entirely new ceremony carried over from Qumran and modified that involved a ritual of partaking of bread and wine, Matthew 26:26-29. Certainly the necessary extermination of the Canaanites was part and parcel of the Sinai covenant. Our Lord Yeshua replaced this commandment by dictating that we are not to exterminate, but rather love our enemies, Matthew 5:43-48, and compare Galatians 3:28. Yeshua's Talmudim even abrogated under the approval of the eternal alternative high priest of the Jewish nation, James, the rite of circumcision for Gentiles, the physical ritual around which the entire Torah oriented, Acts 15. There was no more important ceremony in the Jewish religion or national thought form, and Gentiles needed to be circumcised if they wished to partake of the national life of Israel in obedience to God. These temple-oriented duties were understood by the immediate followers of the Lord to be carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation, Hebrews 9 verse 10. Well and good, but arguments will ensue that these principles do not cover the Ten Commandments. Well, in our following podcast, we shall discover what the biblical revelation itself admits concerning the commandments of the Torah. Are the Ten Commandments eternal, changeless, perfect, immutable? Stay tuned in order to unlock the secrets of the Bible, solve the mysteries of the biblical revelation, explore the astonishing realms of infinite intelligence, enjoy the advancement you will attain as a spiritual being having a human experience in this material world. We invite you to traverse the contents of this ancient book we call the Holy Bible to gain a unique insight into the Jewish scriptures. If you are tuning in to the Interpreter's Pulpit 101 podcasts for any of these reasons, then welcome indeed. Tell your friends, tell your family. It is high time to restore all things, and we thank you for allowing us to serve you in this manner. This is Les Aaron Gosling saying, Kol Tov to all who love the Lord Yeshua.